It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons. We are live here from Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday, and joining us right now is Patriots defensive back Jonathan Jones, who's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Mr. Jones, how are we doing today?
How's it going?
Going pretty good. Let's go ahead and jump right in. That was a tough loss yesterday, obviously. It was a bit of an up-and-down game for you, as there was the Cooper Kupp play on that zero blitz. Let's start there. Unfortunately, we'll get the bad stuff out of the way first. On that play, you knew everybody was blitzing. Were you expecting them maybe to get to Stafford a little bit quicker and that you wouldn't have to cover for that long?
No, it wasn't a true, you know, all-out max blitz. It's kind of one of our simulated blitzes, and it's kind of more for when they're in their, you know, tight splits, and hopefully we can get some simulated pressure that way. But at the end of the day, you know, our job to cover. You know, they made a heck of a pass, heck of a throw down the seam, you know, and I didn't make the play.
So you went to Twitter to say, "I owe NEP better than today. Keep grinding." Why'd you feel the need to do that? I mean, I'm sure you've had good games, bad games before. Like, what made you go to Twitter yesterday?
Just accountability, just in the sense of, you know, you're always bad games and good games, but, you know, I just pride myself on, you know, trying to take accountability. And if I'm going to, you know, be the guy to speak, you know, in front of the team, I'm going to be the first to tell you when I mess up and when I do my wrongs. And so I felt like that was something that needed to be done.
What adjustments did you guys make after a tough second quarter there going into the half? I know obviously that big play happened in the start of the third quarter, but what was sort of emphasized at halftime to take away some of those weapons that the Rams have?
Well, it really wasn't, you know, a lot of what, you know, they were doing or any adjustments. You know, it just came down to us, you know, being able to stop the run early to get them in the automatic drop back situations, you know, and that offense, when they can kind of stay on schedule and do what they want, it makes it hard, you know, to defend. And, you know, I felt like, you know, as a team, you know, we fought through the adversity, through the second and third quarter, the opportunity to win the game in the fourth quarter.
We always talk about adjustments, and we put it on coordinators. But as a player who's actually out there and seeing it, feeling it, living it, how much of a voice do you have to go to the sideline, ask for adjustments, and how open are Gerard and DeMarcus Covington to whatever you might share with them in that area?
Definitely. I think, you know, me being here and playing in this defense for a while, they definitely take my opinion and anything that I'm seeing, any insight that I can give them, or any player that's, you know, has the trust of the coach who's been around. And so they're always willing, if we see something out there that they can't see, if they don't see on the iPad pictures, they trust us. They trust us to come to the sidelines, give them an honest, you know, honest representation of kind of what we're seeing out there, that do anything to help us win.
All right, I told you I'd get to the good stuff now. That play at the end on Nacua, he gets the ball, you're running towards him, you do a great punch out there. What did you see on that play, and did anything that Nacua was doing earlier in the game give you an indication that, hey, I can knock this ball out?
No, it's kind of like I said, they don't line up very often, you know, in wide splits and just let you play man-to-man against their guys. It's not their forte. They're not going to win. They won't win, you know, a lot of one-on-one matchups that way. You know, they kind of did the same split out earlier and ran a slant with him, and they tried to set it up, you know, later in the game on a double move. Same formation, kind of split him out and try to fake a double move. But that's not their, you know, area of forte, and that's why they don't do that, you know, 90% of the time, of just lining their guys up and trying to make one-on-one plays.
Why do you think we've seen tackling be so inconsistent this year? There's been great games. I mean, the opener was an example. You guys were phenomenal tackling. And then there's been some other games like yesterday where it's been a bit of an issue. Why do you think it's been so inconsistent all year?
I think it comes down to first just being in the right fit, you know, being in the right place, you know, at the right time, knowing where your help is within the defense and, you know, getting all 11 guys to be in the right place at the right time. And so it makes tackling a little bit easier. You know, I'm trying to make wide open tackles in open field and open space. You know, it's difficult for, you know, anybody in the NFL. So it just comes with guys being in the right place at the right time. And, you know, gang tackling, having two or three guys, you know, around the ball will make tackling, you know, a lot better when you're able to do that.
With some of the game planning we saw early on, Gonzalez coming in for blitzes, I think he got to Stafford once or twice. Is that something that you guys have been working on a lot this week, and is it something you plan on mixing in more as the season goes on?
I think it's always been in the game plan. We've actually kind of called it a few times, and, you know, sometimes, you know, offense will give a set to where we have to check out of certain calls. And so it was just, you know, able to keep it on and run the blitz and have them try to get in there and, you know, make a disruptive play. It's something we've had, you know, in the defense, and we'll continue to, you know, throw that in there and just, you know, eventually, you know, it'll hit.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing we grew accustomed to over the years for you guys as a defense was sort of taking away an opponent's strength, making them beat you in different ways. This was a game where a layman would look at it and say, well, they pretty much only throw to Nacua and Kupp, and they were able to throw to Nacua and Kupp. Does that add to the frustration or disappointment that you kind of knew how they were going to try to beat you and they still were able to beat you that way?
Yeah, like I said, they have a good scheme with those guys, you know, and finding ways to send them in motions and getting them, you know, in bunch formations and just unique ways of getting them open. And so we definitely, you know, got ourselves a plan, good ball versus, you know, an elite, you know, receiver. But I wouldn't say they had a quote-unquote number one receiver. They have two really, really good receivers that, you know, can move around inside, outside, and line up pretty much anywhere. And so when you have guys like that, it makes it a little harder to take away as opposed to, you know, in previous years, the DeAndre Hopkins, who's, you know, outside at a number one, you know, 90% of the game, it makes it a little easier to take away.
We're talking with Jonathan Jones, defensive back for the Patriots. Jonathan, Christian Barmore, I know he didn't play a lot, but what did he sort of bring to the defense having him back out there? What did you sort of notice about his plays in the sets that he was in during the game?
Yeah, I mean, just getting him back helps. You know, just having more bodies, you know, up front to help us, you know, run and run stopping, converting the pass. You know, it's kind of his forte is just being an inside guy that can stop the run and play action plays, being able to convert, you know, and getting pressure on the quarterback. And so as he continues to build, you know, up, you know, snap count, and he's just going to do nothing but help us more and more.
You have a number of young receivers on this team that are, I think, scuffling, still finding their way, learning, whatever you want to call it. And I'm wondering, as a defensive player who goes against those guys a lot in practice and a team leader, do you sort of cross that aisle, so to speak? Do you give a lot of advice to maybe rookie receivers, young players on the offensive side of the ball when you see the need?
I try to as much as I can. Receivers, it's a unique position, you know, in the NFL. There are not too many receiver rooms who are, you know, set in stone of guys who are going to come out, you know, be number one guys. And so we have a lot of guys who are trying to find their way in this league and make plays and show that they're dependable, you know, not only to their teammates on offense, to the quarterback, to their coaches, and to themselves. And so those guys are continuing to work. They're going to continue to work and continue to get better.
Got the Miami Dolphins coming up. You already played them once this year. Snoop Huntley was a quarterback, so that's a little bit different than Tua, who is now back there calling signals for them. What did you sort of learn from that first matchup? It's a team you're familiar enough with, I would say, but what did you learn from that first matchup with them this year that you can take into this game on Sunday?
Yeah, like you said, the big thing is going to be different is just them having Tua back. And so there's a lot more in their offense that they have a timing built in and have the ability to do with him being back at quarterback. They're going to implement, you know, in their offense. And they're just getting guys going. Janu's getting going for them. They're using him a lot more. So they a big test, the same kind of offense as last week where guys are in motion a lot, going to be a lot of movement, something they've always done. And so we just got to go out and make plays.
You mentioned the Rams not having a true number one, and it seems like the trend in the NFL of a lot of these teams, the Bengals, the Eagles, the Dolphins you'll face this week, do have kind of that tandem where it's like Waddle or Hill, they both could be number ones. How much more does that challenge a defense compared to what you were just talking about, sort of the old school, Randy Moss is the number one, you stop him kind of thing? How much of a bigger challenge is it with these two receiver tandems?
Oh, I would say a lot, you know, especially when they move guys around. You can't just go into a game plan in the week and say, well, hey, this guy's going to be right here because who knows where they're going to put him, you know, Tyreek, Waddle. You know, one week he might be in the formation on this scheme that you watch on film, and then the next week in a totally different place. And so when you have those guys who are interchangeable, you know, on the offense, it definitely makes it harder for defenses.
What is, when you think Mike McDaniel and this Dolphins offense, what do you think the sort of core characteristics are of it?
Just a lot of eye candy. You know, they do a good job of moving guys around pre-snap, post-snap, to try to change gaps. So you're not just lining up on defense and, you know, playing a call. You know, you're making adjustments within the play, you know, as it's going on, pre-snap, you know, a guy will go in motion and boom, the ball snap, and they do a lot of good things with the timing of their motions, getting guys vertical out of the motions. You know, as most teams, a guy who goes in motion, he's either going horizontal across the ball or something short. And so they do a good job of timing that up and having the guy who's going in motion also be a vertical threat.
That is the voice of Jonathan Jones, defensive back for the Patriots. Jonathan, thanks so much for the time and good luck this weekend against Miami.
Thank you, guys. You have a good one.
All right, it's John Jones joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Gerard Mayo. Interesting post-game press conference. We'll get to the money quote, the one that had everybody sort of raising their eyebrows about controlling the game. What was he talking about? What did he mean by it? We'll get to all that next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.